Well, good evening. It's certainly glad to be with you all here tonight, and I appreciate the invitation of your elders to invite me back. I was here, I think it was 2 years ago, I guess now, but I have my family with me, Leah and my kids, and Juju and Pop-Pop are here with us tonight, too, and so a lot of familiar faces and a lot of faces that I don't know, but certainly glad to be with you here tonight. The song that was picked was "You Are My Strength," and I guess that's going to come up here in just a moment. There we go. And I called Tony a couple of days ago, and he called me and reminded me, and he said, "You are my strength." And I said, "Well, let me try to." I had the wrong song because I was thinking "You Are My All in All" is what it was the song. And so then, right before the gentleman got to lead the song, I was thinking, "I hope I got the right one." So tonight, talking about "You Are My Strength," have you ever heard someone say, while they were going through difficult times or just after going through a difficult time, "I don't know how anyone goes through life without God. I don't know how anybody makes it without God." Why do they say that? What is it that God does for them? What is it that God does for us? And I know there's probably somebody in this audience that's went through some very difficult times. And on the other side, you come out a little bit stronger. Why is that? Someone quoted saying, "At my lowest, God is my hope. At my saddest, God is my comforter. At my weakest, God is my strength." Think about that. God is my strength. And we sang that song, "You Are My Strength." You are my strength. And some of the descriptions that we see there, and we talk about, "You are my strength, my shield. You are my rock. You are my hope. You are my help, my deliverer. You are my all in all. You are my redeemer. You are my light. You are my guide. You are my smile. You are my peace. You are the song that I'm singing. You are the joy of my living." Imagine being saved from your enemy. Imagine being saved from those that wish to do harm to you. Imagine being saved from death. If you can't imagine anything like that, do you know somewhat of the relief that David, if you can imagine something like that, you know somewhat of the relief that David had from his enemies. You know what? The relief that David had from being saved from the hand of King Saul. David's saving was not of his own. It was not of his own, but he gave the glory to God. He gave the glory to God. He gave the glory to his strength. As we look and we think about our strength and who our strength is, we think about David. In Psalms chapter 18, he says to them, as we're thinking about this song, "You Are My Strength," he said, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." The Lord, what is he? He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. He says, "My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord," and who is worthy? Who is worthy to be praised? It's the Lord, of course. "So shall I be saved from my enemies." And you think here, the descriptions that he gives God, very, very similar to those in the song that we just sang. The Lord, who is he? He is strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. My God, again, he is my strength. He is my shield. He is the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. When you think about that, he says, my. David had a relationship with God. It wasn't, "Oh, there's someone, there's somebody that I can't talk to, someone that's not going to hear me when I call." But he's talking to someone that is his friend, his strength, how he goes from day to day. And you think about that as we continue there in Psalms chapter 18. You think about whenever the storms of life sometimes come crashing in. When you think about your enemy is surrounding you. When death is at your very door. Listen to David. "The pangs of death," he said, "surrounded me. and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death, they confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. And what happened? He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Is that not beautiful? That we can talk to our Father, our strength, and he hears us when we cry. We think and continue there in verse 13. Skipping down to verse 13, he says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High, he uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He said he sent out arrows. He scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. The ray of hope that he's given here. The ray of hope, whenever he said, you just speak it, Lord, and it happens. You send out, you vanquished my enemies. Think about that. The enemies that we have, the forces of Satan that he sends our way, that God is going to take care of that. When we think we're all alone, when we think there, and when we are all alone, we go to the words of David. We listen to David. We listen to where he put his strength, where he knew his strength was. We look in verse 16 when he said, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. He said, they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into the broad place. He delivered me because why? Why did he deliver David? Because he delighted in me. Think about that. Think about when we're all alone, that we know we have some support. It's our Lord. We think and we continue there in what God did for David. We think about what God does for us. We can skip down to verse 28. In verse 28 of Psalms, he said, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord, it's proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Our God, our strength, what does he do for us in darkness? What does he do for whenever we're facing our enemies? He is our shield. He can help us do more than we can ever imagine that is possible ourselves. He says, for by my God, he says, I can leap over a wall. I can leave because why? Because God, the Lord, is his strength. Do we have that faith in God? Do I have that faith in God? Do I believe that? When we think about God, we think about who he is, and he even asked the question, for who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Think about that. It's God that makes our way perfect. He's the one that makes our way complete. It's not what I do. It's by the strength that God gives me to do. In verse 33, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. What can he do for us? What does he do for us? We continue there in verse 35. What does he say? You've also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my paths under me, so my feet did not slip. He says, I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. When you think about the position that you have in life, when you think about where you are, where you came from, and where you're going, how did you get there? Is it because of what you did? Who gets the glory for what we do? Who gets the glory for our positions in life? all that I am and all that I ever will be is because of God. He is the giver and he's also the taker. So what I look, he is the shield of our salvation. He is the one that enlarges our path. So when there's something, when there is things going great in our life, do we forget to thank him? When things are going bad, is that when we fall down on our knees and ask for our strength? A lot of times that's how it happens. That's the way it is. Because sometimes whenever we are, sometimes when in this life, when we start, when we're successful and things are going great, who do we start relying on? My strength. But it's not my strength. He's already done that for us. He's the one that enlarged my path. When I think about, and I continue to read here, and continue there in chapter 18, he said, I have wounded them. These enemies that he had, he was able to destroy his enemies. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They've fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. Where does our strength come from in when we have the battle? Our strength comes from the Lord. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out. The enemies that were surrounded him. But they cried out. Why was that? They cried out, and who saved them? But there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt in the streets. He said, you have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. What did he say he did for them? Who gets the credit for the victories? Who gets the credit for the victories in your life? Who gets the credit for the victories in my life? In verse 44, he says, as soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners, they submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. Who does he give the credit to? He gives the credit to his strength. He gives the credit to his shield. He gives the credit to his all. He gives the credit to God. And in verse 48, he says, he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent men, from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants evermore. David knew that the Lord was his strength. He knew the Lord was his deliverer. He knew the Lord was his shield, his protector, his rock. He was his strong tower. Do we know that? Do we express that to him? Do we feel the same way? See, where our strength, when it runs out, that's when God's strength begins. That's what someone said. Think about that. When our strength, where our strength runs out, God's strength begins. Going back to what I first told you, to start thinking about when you go through something very difficult, life struggles, health, when your health fails, who is it that carries you through? Because God is not going to stop every difficulty, every bad break, but he will give you the strength, the power, and the grace to go through. There's absolutely nothing that our God cannot do. And we sing a song sometimes with our young kids in the drill class. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the valleys are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that our God cannot do. So we have to have enough faith. We have to have enough faith to realize that our faith, it comes from God. And when we look here in Psalms 27, verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" Where do we find our strength? Where do we find our strength? Where did David find his strength? When we read in Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3, he says, "God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, since we know He is our help, when we know He is our strength, we know that He is our refuge, we're not going to fear." He says, "Even though the earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging," all these things happening, we're not going to fear. When COVID happens, we're not going to fear, because God is our strength. Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it." Isaiah 41, verse 10, So do not fear, he says, "for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand." So we don't worry. We don't fear. We can read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, "Do not worry about anything." Do you worry? We worry. I worry. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." If you pray, if you worry, then pray. If you pray, then why worry? Because that's who we are. We don't have the strength ourselves. We have to have the strength and the faith in God to get through things. That's why he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "You cast all your anxiety on him." Because why? Because he cares for us. We read in Psalms, we just read in Psalms 27, 1 through 3, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who am I going to fear when he is the one that's with me? He's the one that's caring for me. Who am I going to fear?" You see here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, you know, when we think about the confidence that we have, do we have confidence in God and His ability? We say don't worry and don't fear. Do we have confidence in that, in His ability? Even through our darkest days, do we have confidence in His strength? In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." In Psalm 16, verse 8, he said, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." Psalms 91, verses 1 through 2, he says, "You shall live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Do we have that spirit of strength that he has given us? Do we have that spirit of strength as a child of God? Even when hard times come, we aren't promised it. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But we're told in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful. If he says it, you can believe it. He is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." We can see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, for "we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Think about that. He's not just talking and saying these things. He's just not putting these words in here. He sent his son who took on the form of a man, who knows the weaknesses, who knows the struggles, who knows what it's like to be rejected, who knows what it's like to be beaten, who knows what it's like to barely be able to walk, who knows what it's like to bleed, who knows what it's like to have everybody that you think loves you or says that they love you, that's just totally rejected you, he knows it. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are my strength. Is He my strength? Is Christ where you have strength? Is that where your strength lies, is in Christ? We can see from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. We can see from 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, the Lord is faithful. Again, He will strengthen you. He will protect you from the evil one. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, again, what is that? He is the one who can sympathize with us. He is the one who has been in our shoes. He is the one who is our strength. We think about Bible characters. We think about individuals that had strength and those who didn't have strength. We think about Noah. We think about Noah who had the strength, who was told that a flood was coming. And what did he do? He began building the ark and he obeyed God completely. But because he knew what? He knew where the strength was. He knew where the rock was. He knew where the salvation, the shield of his protection was. But unlike who? Unlike the rest of the world at that time, who were unwilling to be saved. You think they knew who the strength was and who the rock was when it started raining? You think they knew where the strength was when the waters got ankle deep? Think about when the waters got waist high. How did they feel about it then? I can't help in my mind to imagine what those individuals must have been going through as the waters got up to their necks and they were, you know, I can imagine. I'd have been trying to climb trees, mountains, or something. But when the door was shut, it was too late. I think about Abraham. I think about Abraham and the strength that he had. When God called, he answered the call. And he left, not knowing where he was going. But he had faith and trust in God. He had faith and trust in God's strength and what he and even when asked, and I can imagine what the strength that he had to have had when told to sacrifice his son. I could not imagine that. But he was willing. He was willing. Unlike when Moses, when he was initially called to do something, what did he do? Probably exactly what you and I would do. Start making excuses. Why? Because where was his strength? He didn't have the strength in himself, did he? He didn't believe in himself. But also, we can talk about Moses. We can add Moses to that list of strength, because what did Moses do after he got over that initial of not believing in himself and believing that God could help him do things? He had the strength to lead God's children out of Egyptian bondage, to do the 10 plagues, standing up to Pharaoh. He did that when he realized where his strength came from. Unlike the Egyptians, so lifted with pride about themselves and just stubborn, and they perished when those waters came crashing down. And what about David? What about David as a young boy? The strength that he had. Willing to fight when no one else would. At that time, he knew where the strength was. He knew that God was the deliverer. He knew that God was where the strength lied. Unlike the army of God, who was frightened, and then they wouldn't dare. No one was going to take the dare to face the giant. But at that time, David did. I think about Daniel. Daniel knowing that his strength was in God. And when told not to pray, he prayed anyway. Unlike Job's wife who told him to just curse God and die. Unlike David, up on that rooftop looking out and seeing what he shouldn't have been seeing and committing adultery. Another thing about Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think about the strength that they had not to bow down and worship the God. They knew what would happen. Be thrown in the fiery furnace. But they had the strength and they believed in the only true and living God. They would not bow down. Unlike Aaron, took the gold and threw it in the fire and poof, there came out a golden calf because the people had to have something to worship. What about Peter? And when we think about when we look at this picture of Peter, Peter's down in the water. Why would I use this picture saying Peter is someone of strength? Because Peter was willing to get out of the boat. He got out of his comfort zone. And he did something that no one else has done after him. And that was to walk on water. Because he had strength. But then, unlike Peter, who denied Christ three times, unlike Peter, who took his eyes off of his source of strength and started noticing the waves. Is that us sometimes? Is that me sometimes? Unfortunately, it is. When I think about the prodigal son, who had the strength to finally come to his senses, and he had the courage to go back home to his father when he had messed up his life. Unlike his brother, unwilling to forgive, unwilling to take him back, complaining about it, who is your strength? Who is my strength? You know, sometimes in our difficulties, we find out exactly how we make it through difficult times. We can listen to Paul, and he said, as he's talking, he was hoping to get the thorn in the flesh to have it removed, but listen to what he says. My grace, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. He says, I'd rather glory in what I'm going through, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that I may take pleasure in infirmities. I'll take pleasure in reproaches. I'll take pleasure in necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm glad to have weaknesses if they're for Christ. I'm glad to be insulted and have hard times. I'm glad when I'm persecuted and have problems. Can we say that? Because it is when I am weak that I'm really strong. You see, our strength, it comes from Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak, he says, in respect of want, but I have learned that in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is in Christ that we're able to do that, because he is our strength. When we think about him being our strength and being on God's side, because if we're on God's side, if God is for us, if he is on our side, better yet, if we're on his side, if we're on Team God, if he is for us, what does it say here? And we know that all things work together to good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. for whom he did foreknow, and he also did predestinate, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because why? He has the strength. He is the rock. He is the shield. He is the strong tower. We can continue reading there in verse 32 when he says, he spared not his own Son. Our strength spared not his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall we not? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yet rather that he is that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also making intercession for us. Our strength was put on a cross. Our strength was buried. Our strength arose. Our strength is continuing to make intercession for us. When I fall and I ask for forgiveness, he's there on my behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? A sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. He says, nay, but in all things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors that have loved us. He says, for I'm persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely nothing. When we ask that question, who can separate us from God? Who can separate you from God? Who causes God's arm to become weak? Who causes God's ear to become deaf? Who caused Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden? Who caused the flood? Who caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? When I read in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, when he says, behold, the Lord's hand, it's not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not too short, and his ear is not, he's not deaf. What is it then? But it's your iniquities, my sins, my choices that separate between you and your God. And your sins, what have they done? My sins, what have they done? They've hid his face. They've hid his face from us that he will not hear. If God is for us, who can be against us? Every one of us, there's not one person in this building, there's not one person in this world who has not sinned. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why do we sin? Why do we do that? Why do we disobey? Why am I all about serving me? Why do I lift myself to a position that I cannot hold? Sometimes we forget who we are. We forget where we came from. We forget our source of strength. You see, there's a big difference. There's a big difference in being a friend of God and being an enemy of God. There's a difference between good in life and evil in life. There's a difference between those who were saved and those who were sinners. There's a difference in the place called heaven and the place called hell. There's a difference in being a sheep than being a goat. It's whose side that you're on. It's whose strength are you relying on. If God is for us, but if God is against us, if God is against us, He has the power to save, but He also has the power to punish. If God is against us, who can save us? Tonight, as we take the things that we have discussed and discussed in that song, that the Lord, that He is our strength, He is our deliverer, He is our stronghold, He is our shield, He is our protector. We think about that. We think about whose side that we want to be on. It has to be God. There may be someone in our presence tonight who maybe they've kind of gotten weak, and they haven't allowed God to be their strength. They haven't went to Jesus. That's when you're weak. It's coming forward and asking God forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Because you know who you're going to. You're not going to me. You're not going to the elders. You're going to the one who can forgive. If there's someone in our presence tonight who has not obeyed the gospel, why not do it tonight? Make that decision as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.